Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers issued an official State of Wisconsin birthday certificate to Jerry Apps in advance of his 90th birthday. That's this Thursday. And Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway proclaimed Thursday, July 25th as Jerry Apps Day in the city. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on WPR News. Talking now with Jerry Apps about some of his more than 50 books he's written and about the books yet to be published. Jerry has created a legacy by telling stories about growing up on a Wisconsin farm and teaching countless college students and other aspiring writers as well. So as we talk with Jerry, I hope you'll join in. You wonder how he chooses what to write about or how many hours a day he's writing? And how does he juggle the multiple book projects simultaneously? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. Jerry Apps, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
I'm very pleased to do it, Larry. Good to be here.
How do you feel about the mayor of Madison and the governor of Wisconsin issuing proclamations for your 90th birthday?
Frankly, I'm embarrassed, to tell you the truth. I'm just a simple farm boy scratching down some of my stories. Never did I expect proclamations to applaud what I've been doing. I've just been doing it because it's kind of fun.
Well, these proclamations, they list, you know, I looked through the proclamations, they list some of your many accomplishments. What have you done that you're most proud of?
Well, you'd be surprised with my answer, but I'm most proud of being able to, and it's not been a lot, to use all of the money that I have earned from writing to put my grandkids through college. I have provided scholarships, I provided their tuition now for all five of them so they could graduate from college. I'm most proud of that. And it has everything and nothing to do with my writing.
So, what were your favorite books to write?
Well, that's almost like asking who's your favorite child. But I go back to some of my very early writing. My very first book was published in 1971, and it was called The Land Still Lives. And the Wisconsin Historical Society Press republished that book 50 years later, which says to me that, hey, I may have had something going then. I did, and in respect of, I knew Gaylord Nelson, our former governor and senator, and he wrote the intro to my first book, and I'm very proud of that. So I would say that's probably the one that I come back to when people say, well, what was your favorite book? I don't know if my favorite book was my first one, and it got me started in this writing business. Another one that's done really well is my Barnes of Wisconsin book. That's been published and republished and so on, and it's, well, it was fun to write. And it has an interesting history as to why I wrote it. And it continues to be in print, and people continue to enjoy it.
Yeah, it was a great book, and we talked about it. And we talked about a lot of your books over the years. And I have to, this is just an aside, but I have to tell you, I've had a chance to meet many Wisconsin Public Radio listeners over the years. And often they will say, you know, my favorite shows are the ones you do with Jerry Apps. So kudos to you on that, Jerry.
Gee, that's not listed on those commendations. Thank you. That's great. I have, as you probably know, when I was a bit younger, I used to travel all over the Midwest giving talks about early farm living and what it was like to live in the country and what it was like to grow up without electricity and running water and all that sort of stuff. And I continue to hear from people who say they enjoy learning about that. And I continue to, feel good when I hear that, because all I was trying to do in the very beginning was to write about what I remembered so that my family, my grandkids especially, would have some appreciation for the fact that I grew up with next to nothing compared to the conveniences that people have today. The idea of a computer had never been thought of in 1934. Maybe somebody thought of it, but I don't think so. 1934, without electricity, I thought the radio when I was a little kid was one of the most wonderful things that ever came along. And ours operated off of a battery because of no electricity. And, well, that's about as far as the fancy electronics went in those days. Of course, we had a party line telephone, but that's another story.
Yeah, we can get into that. I had a party line telephone, too, when I was a kid. Richard in Fox Valley has a question for you.
Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
Happy birthday this Thursday, and happy 90th year, I guess.
Sure. You have a question?
We were asking about the Fox Locks, and this goes from Portage to Green Bay, where the Corps of Engineers built a system back in the 1800s. I dropped you off some maps at the Nina Library when you were doing visiting here, telling us all about the books that you're writing. And I wondered if you're still working on that Fox Lock system.
Huh.
Well, I must say I am not. I'm aware of it. I'm intrigued by it. And it surely made an interesting difference in the transportation in this state.
It did indeed. Richard, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You know, I want to go back to the proclamation for a second, because the one from the city praises your commitment to community environmental stewardship and promotion of sustainable living. And that's certainly a theme. How did that become a theme of your work?
Well, I grew up as a lover of nature. And my father, who had a fifth grade education, I remember so well, often on a Sunday afternoon, he would take me, and when my brothers got older, for a walk. And we would walk around the farm, and he would look at the corn, and he would look at the oats, and he would look at the alfalfa field. But what he was mostly doing, and we'd walk through the woods, we had 20 acres of woodlot right next to our homestead. And he would help me understand how it was that we as human beings are related to this grand, grand thing called nature. And he never said it in fancy words, because he didn't have fancy words. He just wanted us to see what was there and appreciate it. And one of the things that he said, the extent to which we know about something is the extent to which we will take care of it. And I've never forgotten that. The extent to which we know about nature is the extent that we will likely want to take care of it. That's how it all got started, Larry, way back in the 1930s. On those walks through the woods, around the farm, my dad not using any fancy words, and often simply saying, just stop and listen.
Yeah.
And we don't do that very much these days. We don't take time to stop and listen. I could go on at great length, as you can tell.
Jerry Epps, our guest. Madeline in Green Bay will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Madeline.
Hi. I grew up on my mother and father's farm in the heart of the Oneida Reservation on Moore Road, and I had the same experience as Jerry Epps. And he said that when he was a kid, he thought that radio was the best thing that came along. I still think radio is the best thing that came along. I'm either listening to Wisconsin Public Radio or Christian Radio, and I still think radio is the best thing that ever came along.
Madeline, thanks for calling. Well, comment, Jerry.
Well, I must say, I have all kinds of memories about radio. And when I first became an extension agent in 1957, I was in Green Lake County, and we were right next door to Ripon. And WCWC and radio came on the air while I was working in Green Lake County. And they asked me, would you be willing to do a regular radio show on WCWC? And I said, sure. And what fun it was to be on the radio, for heaven's sakes, and have people say, I heard you on the radio yesterday. Well, good for you. I moved from Green Lake to Green Bay, and there I was doing even more radio and began to do some television, too. But I've always had something special in my mind for radio. And when I do a lot of television, as you know, as well. And I don't tell John Miskowski, who heads public television, that my first love is really for radio. I don't tell him that because I've done now 7 documentaries, hour-long documentaries for public television. That's another whole story, too.
It is indeed. Jerry Epps, our guest today. We're celebrating his 90th birthday coming up this Thursday. I'm Larry Mueller. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, or email to talk@WPR.org. Larry Mueller here for WPR News. Talking today with Jerry Epps, author of more than 50 books and counting. His 90th birthday this week. Give a call with your own questions, comments, or thoughts, maybe an experience you had with Jerry. Number's 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. And let's take a call. Becky in Columbia County, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry, and happy birthday, Jerry. It is so great to talk to you. So I was a senior in college at UW-Madison, and you were still teaching there. And I cannot remember the name of the class, but you were teaching a graduate course for people who were either in extension and, you know, were working on their master's and were thinking of making it an undergraduate course. And so that you invited a few seniors that you knew were interested in getting into extension work to take that class. And I was one of them. And I've never forgotten that class. It was great. I was totally intimidated by being in a class with all these working adults in extension. But it was great. And one of the examples that you talked about is needing to get to know your audience. I think we had a little story about if the ladies only want to learn about making hats, well, then you maybe start with making hats and then introduce all the other ideas of things that you could teach them and they might like to learn about. And I did go into extension work, and I worked here in Columbia County as a 4-H summer agent and then a 4-H agent. Went back, and I married a dairy farmer, so I stayed in the county, and then went back to extension work later on. And worked as a nutrition educator and then ended my career as the interim food preservation specialist for the state. But I've always remembered that you need to start where your audience is at. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, Becky, thanks for calling. Jerry, comment?
I am so pleased to hear what you just said, because those of us who teach, and I've done it for 38 years at the university, and I taught writing for 42 years, is to, that's so important. start out where people are. And sometimes we professors have this this trait of being high and mighty, and I have tried not to ever do that. I'm just a dumb little farm kid who grew up during the Depression and have been lucky to have scholarships to go to school. And I very quickly learned in my teaching career that start out where people are, for heaven's sakes, or you'll turn them off before you ever get going. I could go on with that for a long time as well, because that's one of the foundations and beliefs of my teaching philosophy.
Yeah. Becky, thank you so much for calling. Jan and Nina, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Jan.
Hi. Happy birthday, Jerry, and I hope you have
thank
many
you.
More. And I wanted to speak about your book on how to tell your story, and that there is great importance in everybody telling their story. I've read so many of your books, and I've loved them all. And most of all, your willingness to share how to tell a story so that it's interesting and relevant. And that was just wonderful to read that book and, you know, learn to write in that way.
Oh, Jan, thanks. Jerry, comment?
Yes, I've telling your story is the little textbook that I used for the last 10 years or so in my writing workshops. And I, in fact, I've done an entire PBS show just on telling a story. And it, to me, I as I mentioned, I grew up with without much of anything. But what we did have was a community of storytellers. Whenever a group of farmers would get together, whether they're the thrashing bee or whatever it was, we would always tell stories. And I remembered so well when I was a little kid, I would go with my father to Wild Rose, my hometown, and on Saturday night, and let's say it's in the winter, and we would gather, my dad and I and a bunch of other farmers, in the back room of Hotz's hardware store, where there was a big stove because it didn't have a furnace in the building. And there I listened to the most wonderful stories. Some of them were even true. I'm sorry. I write novels too, as you probably know. But I listened to those stories, and I found, and we were in the midst of the Great Depression in the 30s, as most of you know, and everything was not good. But when you heard a story, it always brought a sense of, hey, that's really interesting. It took your mind away from all of your troubles. And some of them were downright funny. I mean, you just hoot and laugh. Stories. We had one storyteller that really was a truth stresser. And he was telling a story about how this guy died, and they put him in the back of this hardware store over the winter. So he would be chilled until spring, when they buried him, I said, oh, what the heck is that all about? Well, it wasn't true, but it was an interesting story. And it's that sort of thing that got me going. I thought, you know, I can tell a story. And I started doing it when I was a kid, when I was in high school. And I never quit. And I guess as long as I'm able to breathe, I probably never will.
I hope that's the case, Jerry. Jan, thank you so much. Ralph in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Ralph.
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Well, I purchased a lot of the books Jerry's written, and my favorite is The One Room Rural School. And I could really relate to that, what he said, because we went through the same kinds of things back in the 40s and early 50s. But I also taught some classes that were terrible for teachers on the history and geography of Wisconsin. And one of the things I found out is there was not one single source to go to for all the governors of Wisconsin. So I wrote a grant and got money to create a poster that's a foot and a half wide by 2.5 feet long of all the governors of Wisconsin And I'd love to be able to share one. It's a little old now. It goes back a few years, but I'd send one to Jerry if he would like to see it.
Oh. Sure, that'd be great. I'd like that.
Oh, and easy to find you if you go on, well, if you just type Jerry Apps into a search engine, you're going to find it.
Yeah, just go to jerryapps.com. That's my website. My email address is there and so on. That's how you can find me.
Ralph, thank you very much for calling. Well, he mentioned it, his book on your book on the one-room schoolhouse, which I went to as well, and those were great times.
They really were, and I not only have I written a book about that, and my daughter has written a book about one-room schools for young readers. I also did an hour-long documentary with PBS called One Room School with Jerry Apps. And there I was able to share many of the stories that were in my book. But we also, of course, had illustrations. And we filmed some of the show at my school that I attended way back in, well, I graduated from there in 1947. So that's a day or two ago. Anyway, that show and that book, as you correctly point out, was of great interest to a lot of people. And so I gave many, many talks to former teachers and so on. And it's been, I'm so pleased that that somebody encouraged me to write that book, because I have this mistaken idea that everybody knows about one-room schools and everybody knows about farm life. They don't. They don't. I was talking to a group at Oshkosh one time, and this fella comes up to me, and he looked like maybe 35 years old or 40. He says, "You know, Jerry, you said you grew up without electricity. How could anybody possibly grow up without electricity?" And I very quietly said to him, "For millions of years, human beings grew up without electricity." He looked at me like, "What?"
Jerry Apps, our guest. Join in with your own questions or comments or maybe experience at 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. You have a few new books slated for release this year and in 2025. And this fall, a book for young readers will be published by Wisconsin Historical Society Press. It's called Timber, A Northwood Story of Lumberjacks, Logging, and Land. And you wrote that with your daughter, Susan. You mentioned her, which reminded me of it.
Susie is the lead author of that one, because it's especially written for young readers. But I also wrote a book a couple of years ago called When the White Pine Was King.
Yeah.
And that's the history of the logging industry in Wisconsin. So Sue and I based this young reader's book on my earlier book. But then I have another book that came out earlier this year called On Farms and Rural Communities, which was published by Fulcrum Press. And in that book, I do a bit of a history of agriculture, a bit of where agriculture is now. And then I did some, here's what agriculture might and should look like as we go into the future. One of the themes of that book, by the way, is land is more than dirt. I've gotten a lot of mileage out of that. That's an Aldo Leopold phrase, I believe, that I've stolen from him. But land is more than dirt. That comes back to my interest in nature and environmental work. So that's what that book is all about. And then, Larry, as we were talking about new books, next spring, I've had so much fun with this book. It's called Lunkers, Keepers, and Those That Got Away, Fish Tales from Four Generations of Anglers. Historical Society Press is doing that. And it's all, I've collected fish stories from my grandkids, from my brothers, daughter's in-law family. And it's a most comfort, oh, I shouldn't brag about it, but I will. It's a very comprehensive book about how to do it, where to do it, when to do it, and what results from doing it.
I can't wait for that one. I'm really looking forward to that.
And just a couple other comments. I'm in the midst right now of working on a new book with Susie that we're titling Old Farm Country Christmas. And we have dug out Christmas traditions in the country over the years and how, what they were, where they came from, and a little bit of history of them. And Susie is including all kinds of historic recipes related to Christmas. And then one last one I'm working on right now, about halfway through the rough draft, is, and I suspect you would think this would be coming from this old guy, what I've learned from 90 years of living. That's what I'm working on right now. And I find, as I think about that, oh my gosh, my head's full of stuff that I've learned and I never talked about. So get ready, folks. 90 years of what I learned.
Oh, man. Jerry Epps, our guest. Willem in Colfax. We'll go to you. Hi, Willem.
Hello. I was just wondering about, you know, the radio, how important the radio used to be to people, especially rural people. And I remember I moved to Wisconsin in 1977, and I used to listen to the radio, and I still listen to the radio. But I was wondering, the radio has changed over the years that I've listened. I first listened with Margaret Andreasen and Gene Faraca and all the other call-in opportunities for people from all over the state. But I no longer hear that because this is the only program that you can call on. They no longer have programs like Kathleen Dunn or Ben Marins or Tom Clark or any of those programs. So, and the fact that it used to be called the Ideas Network, which was a reflection of the Wisconsin Idea, which was how the radio was born, the oldest public radio station in the country. So I like that. I always liked that it was a radio station dedicated to ideas.
Yeah. Well, I think it's
sounds like a question for you, Larry.
I think it's still a network of ideas, and I think it's still I can tell you right now from this chair that the boundaries of the campus are the boundaries of the state. We embrace that, even though we also hear from people all over the country on this particular show. And so change comes. I guess you're never going to stop change. And one of the things we've done here is to expand this program. It's now... I started out, it was a 30-minute program that I was on. Then it went to 60 minutes. Then it went to 90 minutes. And now it's 2 hours. And I probably never, I don't know that I'll live long enough to get to 2.5 hours, Jerry. I've certainly enjoyed doing this. And we hope that this program keeps the flavor of all of the shows that you remember, Willem, in focus, and something that we're going to hang on to for a long time. So change comes, a lot of it based on audience research and work that way. We spent a couple of years working on what kinds of changes can we make that will attract the broadest range of people here in the state of Wisconsin, and that's what we're trying to do. So there's my answer off the top of my head. Willem, oh man. And with that, we'll go to Kenneth in Beloit. Hi, Kenneth.
Hello, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Jerry for being my therapist, and that I'm just a couple of years younger than he, and I was born and raised on a farm in Portage County, not too far from Washera County, and I went off to a private boys' school, and was ashamed of those years that he's talked about. But Jerry has made me proud of my bringing up, and I want to. I'll be forever thankful to you for doing that for me.
Jerry, Kenneth, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for that. And a quick story, because when I graduated from the university in 1955, I did not want people to know that I had been born on a farm without electricity, etc. And then I went into the Army, and I was a second lieutenant, and we were stationed in Fort Eustis, Virginia. And there are a bunch of other officers there, and we were in the officers' club one night. And I was listening to them talk about their bringing up. My gosh, I thought, you know, I know stuff that they don't begin to know. I knew how to use a rifle when I was 12 years old. You know, these guys in their 20s never seen a rifle. I mean, I came out of my Army experience saying, I'm going to spend the rest of my life talking about the values, beliefs, information that comes from growing up on a farm. And I refuse to be ashamed of it. I now would like to be proud of it. And that is the secret behind why I wrote about 24 books related to, hey, folks, here's what farming used to be like. Here's something that we gained. Here's what community is all about and how it works. Here's what neighbors are, how that works, et cetera. So thank you for that comment. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kenneth. You can join in, too, at 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. Mary Ann from Madison, speaking of emails, emailed and is wondering if you have any favorite memories of celebrating birthdays on the farm.
Well, I've got to share this first. One of our neighbors was so dirt poor that the daughter had never celebrated her birthday until she was in her 60s. And my mother, my folks had moved to Wild Rose by that time in retirement, and my mother was talking to her about that. She said, I never had a birthday party. My mother organized a birthday party for her, and there were tears everywhere. I was always privileged to have a birthday party at our farm. And what was it like? Well, the presents were not very many because we didn't have any money, but we always had a birthday cake and there were always candles on it and we always sang happy birthday. And it was a proud moment to be celebrated every year. And guess what? Our family now with grandkids and great-grandkids, we celebrate every birthday. Without fail, it's an important part of who we are. It's an important part of who everybody is. Where did it all start? That's what birthdays are about.
Yeah, I like that sentiment. Jerry Apps, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to WPR News. Talking with Jerry Apps on the program today. Jerry's going to be 90 years old on Thursday, and he has been honored by the governor and the mayor of Madison and a whole lot of other people as well. And it's really been a privilege and a lot of fun for me over the years to have a chance to visit with Jerry. So I'm glad to have him with us today. You can join in with a question or comment at 800-642-1234. You can also email us to talk at WPR.org. That's talk at WPR.org. Todd from Wild Rose called in but couldn't stay with us, but wants to hear you talk more about the future of farming and what you think it looks like.
Well, I would first suggest that he pick up a copy of my book, which is titled On Farms and Rural Communities, published by Falcom Press. There are It tends to be a fairly controversial topic, because in what direction should food production go? Should we follow an industrial model, which is a major part of agriculture today, or should we pay more attention to the agrarian model, which suggests that agriculture is really not something that can be industrialized because it involves living creatures. It involves plants, it involves animals, and they're not machines. So that's some of the discussion that's going on. But I don't have time to get into depth right now, but you'll want to look at my book because I offer several alternatives that we might consider as we look to the future of agriculture. And one thing I will say, for me, it doesn't matter where you live or what you do, agriculture is a part of your life. If you want to continue eating, you should think about that for a minute. Agriculture is not just something for some ag professors to talk about, but it's for everybody to talk about. That's one of the messages I would like to leave based on that book. And I stress this idea that I mentioned earlier, land is more than dirt. I'll think about that for a little bit. I'll stop there.
Julie in Belleville has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Larry, and hi, Jerry. This is Julie Sutter Blair calling. And I want to first say happy birthday. And then I don't know if you remember, but we worked on a book together a long time ago called The Wisconsin Traveler's Companion. And I did the drawings and you did all the...
Oh, they were wonderful, too.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do, of course.
It was a great year or two for me. I loved working on it and working with you, and I just want to say happy birthday and thanks for that time.
Well, thank you so much for calling. No, I have worked with all kinds of people. Can you believe it? I've worked with, I think, 15 different publishers in the last 50 years. And so I've worked with photographers. I've worked with artists. I worked with other authors. And it's been fantastically interesting and so much fun. I've been away from the university now for 30 years, and these 30 years I have devoted entirely to writing and to television and radio and et cetera. And it's been a great 30 years. They flew back. Those 30 years flew back like whoosh, gone compared to my first 30 years.
You know, you mentioned press. Wisconsin Historical Society Press they published more than 20 books of yours.
25, as a matter of fact.
How have you sustained that author-publisher relationship for so many years?
Well, I could be facetious and say, as they retired, I worked on new people. So. No, I've been one of my heroes at the Historical Society Press is Kate Thompson. She and I have worked together on 20 some books. I've worked with a bunch of editors over the years. Kate is right there on top. She knows me. She knows my writing. She knows my style, and she makes my sometimes stuff, which sounds academic and pedantic and preachy, into something that people will find interesting. And I can't say enough about Kate and the work that she's doing. She was the director of Wisconsin Historical Society Press for a number of years, and she stepped back to be acquisitions editor because that's what she likes to do best. And she tears my stuff apart. Oh, my gosh. If I were a fledgling writer, I'd be angry as all get out. It's just the opposite. She is making me beyond what I ever thought I could be. And I mean that sincerely, Kate, if you happen to be listening.
And every author, a successful one, needs good editors. I don't care who you are.
Absolutely right. And when people say to me, every so often, something to me, well, how come you don't do your own editing? because you have been an editor. Well, of course, I worked for McGraw-Hill part-time for 7 years. Sure, I've been an editor. But here's what I say. When was the last time you knew of a physician who took out his own appendix? And that stops them cold.
My dad used to tell a story about a doctor that did take out his own appendix.
How long did he live?
I don't know.
Oh, yes.
Well, now I've lost my train of thought. Oh, I know.
Yep, so all of us.
I know that next spring, PBS Wisconsin is going to broadcast your new documentary, Meet Me on the Midway, A History of Wisconsin Fairs. You know, that's based on a book you wrote by the same name, published in 2022, was it?
Yes, that's right.
I think we talked about it at the time.
Yep.
I think I even got a comment in that book about my own experience.
That's probably right.
Anyway,
what?
Talk about that documentary.
What? Okay, well, as an extension agent working in Green Lake and in Brown County, I was responsible for the fairs that were going on there. As a 4-H member, I grew up showing cattle at a county fair and even at the state fair in Milwaukee. So, and I was a fair judge for, I don't know, 20 years. So I knew quite a lot about fairs, but I did not know their histories. And I, as a history buff, I decided I would write this book, which would include a history of every fair operating in Wisconsin today and a few that are no longer operating. And I had the best time getting in touch with fair directors, with local historical societies, and that's a major part of the book. And then I have this theme that I firmly believe in, that we in our society today need to do more in helping rural people and urban people connect with each other. And a fair is a wonderful way for that to happen, because you are, as an urban person, you are learning about agriculture without realizing that you're doing it. And I use the example of one time I was, I don't know which fair I was at the time, I was watching this little kid, she probably was, I don't know, two, 3 years old, and she was petting a baby lamb. That child will never forget that. That's a connection that will be there forever. And that's one of the things, that's the underlying theme in this book, is not only are fairs a place to have fun and to maybe learn something and to have some strange food on a stick, it's a place to connect two parts of our society together, because we have seen a cleavage in the last few years where farm people are over here, rural people, and the rest of society is over here, and we need to bring them together. They've got to come to know each other. That's one of the reasons I not only did the fair book, but most of my books are, hey, pay attention, folks. Here's something you might find interesting and relate to what you're doing now. So the fair show is, I think you're going to find it interesting. We filmed a fair amount of it at Dane County Fair, some of it at the Columbia County Fair, and there are photographs from all kinds of other fairs as well. So I think you'll find it interesting.
I think so, too. I've been to many county fairs across the state, and they're all a little different. And yet they're all the same in some respects.
That's right. And they all have a history. And those histories are really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, who would come and watch a guy who was billed as being able to walk fast backwards? I forgot which fair that was, but that was a big head. Come and watch this man walk fast backwards. Who cares?
Well, and then there's the state fair with the racing pigs.
Yes, well, I've got a whole thing on the history of the state fair, too, which is really very interesting in its own right.
Oh, man. Yes. Well, you've written 11 novels since 2010, if I'm not mistaken. How do you decide when to write a book about history versus a historical novel?
I suppose I got bored writing all nonfiction, and I would switch. I'll share this little secret. I do not write one book at a time. I usually work on two, sometimes three books at the same time. And right now, I'm not working on a fiction book. I don't know why, because I have a lot of weird ideas in my head. But there's no great rhyme or reason to why I do it. I enjoy fiction. I read a lot of fiction. I even tried writing a book on poetry one time, and somebody said, I think you better hide that one before it sees the light of day. So I did.
But I bet you hung on to it.
I still have it. I've got all. When I leave this world, my kids are going to have fun. I've got two, three novels that never were published, too.
Oh, man. Well, and there are still books you want to write? I mean, you're working
of
on.
Of course. I write every day. I've written every day for 50 years.
That's an amazing record. What are you working on now?
Well, I mentioned I'm working on this book, What I Learned from 90 Years of Living.
Oh, that's right.
I'm having a ball with that. Well, like, for example, I have never written about my 10 years in the Army Reserve, and most people didn't know I did that. See, I was a captain in the Army Reserve. Most people don't know that, and I never talk about it. Also, I've got two chapters in this book all about what I learned from being in the Army Reserve for 10 years. Quite a bit, as a matter of fact. And then I'm also writing some chapters about when it was that I decided that maybe I should go to church once in a while. And that's a whole new ticklish topic, I must say. And we won't get into it here, because if you want, a long time ago, somebody told me, when you're giving a speech, there are three things that you never talk about: politics, religion, and your relatives. And I pretty much held to that. So anyway, I'm including some of that in this book, because I'm violating that lifelong rule of never saying anything about religion.
Okay. Well, I got to tell you, last week or 2 weeks ago, I think it was, I interviewed Mo Rocca. Mo Rocca's got a new book out. It's called Roctogenarians, Late in Life Debuts, Comebacks, and Triumphs.
Oh, really? Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It's about people later in life, some who have gone through their life doing things, others who got started really late in life. You didn't get started late in life writing, but you've been at it.
I was editor of my high school newspaper. That's how I got started.
Well, here you've been writing now professionally for 30 years. It's been a great pleasure to talk with you, Jerry. And when that Lunkers, Keepers, and Ones That Got Away Fishtails book comes out, I definitely want to read it and have you back at least then, if not before. Thank you, Jerry. And happy birthday.
Yes, thank you, and thanks for the chance to be on.
Jerry Apps, our guest. He's 90 years old on Thursday, and it was a pleasure for me to talk with him. Pleasure for me to have you listening in, and a pleasure to have all of our great team of people as well. Clara Neipert and Joel Patnaud, our producers, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins. Of course, our executive directors, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for listening, and please stay with us.